Good afternoon. Olan Machola here. I'm a policy analyst for Independent Schools Association of Southern Africa, and a lot of people are always keen to know what does that entail. My job is very boring. I have a little office where I stay, and I read a lot. I look at legislation in the country, South Africa, and pick on those pieces of legislation which are going to have an impact on our sector, which is the private school sector. Being innovative is not something that gets done by somebody somewhere. And innovation is something that comes from a human being. And we are South Africans, and we are known for a whole range of things. One of the things which I've had to defend most of the time was that we as South Africans are boring people. I'm not sure if you agree with that. Are we in many senses?
Speak for yourself.
In many senses that we don't really like to talk to each other a lot. We don't really like to share ideas. In fact, we don't know each other as South Africans. The only way we know each other is through ETV at 7 o'clock and listen to who has done what to whom. That's the only vision that we have of each other. Of course, I disagree with that. As a South African, I suppose it depends where you come from. As a South African, I've always believed that I am one amongst many great nations in the world. And I am here for a reason, and so are you. So for me, the question that I wanted us to ask ourselves, beyond the technology, because I've been sitting and listening, and cell phones, social media, and so on and so forth, it sounds good. But now the question is, you, as a future innovator, are you ready? I wanted to respond to what my kind gentleman here was raising earlier on, but then I realized as an analyst, okay, he's talking about procedural matters, and that's not innovation. But then I thought he's making some valuable points, because a lot of us get lost in our day-to-day activities, and you think we know what innovation is and so on and so forth. Now imagine if we were to regulate innovation. It would be the most boring thing ever. For me personally, I believe that innovation should be just set free. Think your own thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything wrong with being unable to think your own thoughts, because that's the reason why things are as they are today in our country and the world over. Because people, for some reason, they've divorced themselves from the day-to-day events, the day-to-day innovations that they should be making. They don't. I always like to say controversial things deliberately. Let's take the politics of our country. Already I can see some of you cringe, thinking, don't go there. Don't go there. And my question is, why not? So innovation for me, if it is going to be a success, it means each one of us have a responsibility to themselves to actually start asking themselves very difficult questions. Because usually what people don't like to do is to come in a room like this and sit behind the person in front of them and keep quiet. When everything else has been said and done, they walk out and they have multitudes of ideas and things to say. And then you just think, but you had an opportunity earlier on to actually voice that opinion. Sometimes people even retire on earth for the fear of saying die. They retire, and they retire with great, wonderful ideas which they could have contributed if they were alive. So innovation, whilst Prof looked at it from a global perspective, global technological perspective, I want to bring it closer to us as human beings Hence, I'm asking the question, are you innovative or are you innovation ready? One of the things, I love cartoons, and my favorite cartoon is Spider-Man. Unbelievably so. Yes, Spider-Man. I've bought DVDs and so on and so forth. And in all the madness, I was able to pick up one thing which I think addresses some of the issues which you probably raised about innovation. Uncle Ben, one of the characters, Uncle Ben, he was dying because he had been shot by a thug. And then he said to Spider-Man, with great power comes greater responsibility. How wise is that? Well, I suppose for me, it's wise for me. I'm not sure if it is for you. But the question is, in today's world, where we have so many choices, where we have so many innovations, the question is, what are we going to teach our kids, our students, and so on and so forth? And I've been telling teachers, because I'm a teacher myself by profession, I've been saying to teachers, don't tell kids the do's and don'ts. Rather, teach them to make good choices. You don't say to them, don't be on Facebook and just leave it there. Of course, there's got to be a reason why they shouldn't be on Facebook. Are you with me? So at the end of the day, being innovation ready requires that obviously your mind has got to be ready. Your mind has got to be in the right place. Your attitude. What sort of attitude do you carry with yourself in the process of being innovative? These are all the questions that most of us don't really ask themselves. When you come to UNISA, I know that UNISA says, learn without limits. I love that. When I saw it, I was like, oh, this is great. But then the question becomes, do you know what your limits are? And the next question would be, if you knew what your limits were, what would you do about your limits? I mean, it goes beyond that. As South Africans, what are our limits as a country, as South Africans? And what do we do about those limits? How innovative are we in terms of our own problems as a country, as a continent? Because for me, as controversial as this may sound, I seem to think that we keep doing the same things all the time, same mistakes, keep repeating, and yet we have thousands of students that graduate and are supposed to be innovative and so on and so forth. Where do all those people go? You know, these are not nice things to ask, but I ask them nonetheless. When I'm on Facebook, I am there to challenge myself. I am there to challenge my friends. I am there to be challenged too. Because innovation, again, it is not just a technological thing that happens on the side. It starts with someone. So at the end of the day, if we were to talk about innovation without heart, you know, we would also talk about leadership without heart. For instance, I've often said Hitler. I would always use Hitler as an example, you know, because he's well known. And the question is he well known for good reasons or not? You know, how can a man, one man, be so capable of involving so many people in whatever it is that he did back then? You know, what was it about him that allowed him to do that? And what about the rest of the people who were around him but perhaps never intervened to say, hey, listen, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. Look at the politics of our country. Look at the politics of the world today. You know, how are certain people able to do certain things in the presence of others who are equally smart, if not more, but then they don't stop them. You know, whether the innovation is good or bad, whether the leadership is good or bad, these are all the questions that worry me. Because I'm also a student, I'm also busy battling with some theses about something, you know, which I've rewritten it 10 times, I think. Because every time I write it, I think this is the best thing I've ever written. And then my supervisor will look at it once and say, oh, no, do it again. You know, you come the next day, oh, no, you've missed that point. I need you to tell me more about that concept and so on and so forth. You know, but every time I rewrite, it's every time I get challenged. And I sort of enjoy that. So, again, you cannot just become innovative without paying attention to something as innocuous as commitment. Also, the whole idea of fortitude, persistence, and vision. With your innovation, what do you have in mind? What would you like to achieve with or through your innovation? What kind of a person do you think your innovation is going to make you look like? How is it going to impact on other people? So if this was research, I'm sure we would be looking at the whole issue of ethics, you know, which your research is actually looking at. So basically, putting it all together, I would say the best innovations for me, are already out there. It's how we respond to those innovations. It's what we do with those innovations. Because one can quote a number of innovations which have been made and then ask the question, have they been beneficial or not? Think of people that make bombs, for instance. Smart people, very innovative, but are they using their innovations in a good way? Thugs, the guys that hijack us, the guys that break into our houses and so on and so forth. If you listen to them, how they do some of these things, you know, you just think, wow, that's smart, but bad smart. It's not good smart, it's bad smart, because people get killed, but then, you know, they would have been innovative in doing whatever it was that they did. So as students, I remember when I first started at college, I was an undergraduate. You know, when you think about this word, undergraduate, it's like under something, you know? And then post-grad, it's like you're beyond reproach, you know? And I've often liked to be called or to call others students, you know? But then you know how students are like. When somebody is doing their master's, as Prof was saying, they want to be known that they're doing their master's. So it's post-grad and undergrad. And when you are undergrad, it almost feels as if you're the least important in the room. People who contribute smart ideas are those that are post-grad. I know, when you're new in an institution, that's what happens. And only to discover a couple of months later that, you know, post-grads are as human as we are, you know, sometimes less intelligent, depending on what you define as intelligence. But at the end of the day, I think the most important thing for all of us in this room as students is to actually make sure that we now start thinking differently about what innovation is, not just from an academic sense. I remember asking Prof some of the questions about this, and she said to me, in her usual self, look, let's just talk. Let's have a talk. Let's not make this academic. Let's challenge people differently. And as I sit and I listen, I realize that, yes, indeed, people in this room are actually looking at innovation in a much more different way, you know, much better than how I've read about it in the newspapers. How I've read, I Googled Prof. I went to YouTube and I listened to her giving a talk on the importance of human sciences at university, how she spoke then was not the same as now. Then she was technical, and after 5 minutes of trying to listening to what she was saying, I got lost. I thought, wow, why are academics always like that sometimes? You know, I've often felt that sometimes when you go to varsity, you go there because they want to confuse you, not because they want to help you learn something new. Meanwhile, one professor said to me, it is at the point of confusion that you learn something new. I've never forgotten that. So for me, I think whilst we are here, this being our first session, and this being our first encounter, I think Prof has actually spoken enough to get us to start thinking differently about what innovation is about. One can go on forever talking about what innovation is. I just felt that perhaps one needed to bring it to the human level, to the personal level, and say, how ready are you as a person to actually engage in innovative thinking if you're not already doing it?